We release numbers today on why voters are on edge despite quote-unquote economic recovery. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As we take measure of the U.S. economy throughout this election season, the Marketplace newsroom has a project to keep track of the stress Americans are feeling in their own personal financial situations. We call it the Marketplace Anxiety Index, and we have a set of data on this derived from the most recent national poll we commissioned. The top line, sure, the economy may be growing, but economic anxiety is not on the decline. Joining me is our Washington Bureau Chief, Dave Shaw. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So remind everybody what we've been measuring here.
This is the second time we've gone out and asked people how they feel about their personal financial situations. We get a lot of measures of the economy writ large. We're trying to get a measure of the economy writ really small. And so what we do is we take all of these questions and we boil down on part of the survey about the anxiety that people are feeling about their employment situation, their ability to pay their bills, whether they're losing sleep. We put that into a number. And the number that we got this time out is the same as when we measured in the fall, 31, the anxiety score of 31 on a scale of 0 to 100.
Wait, so it's unchanged. That's so odd, given the fact that the formal numbers we're reporting from the government about the economy, about jobs, is showing steady improvement.
It shows this disconnect that we encounter in our reporting every day. You know, we've added more than a million jobs since the last time we were out in the field with this survey. The Federal Reserve has deemed the U.S. economy strong enough to finally have an interest rate slightly higher than the near zero rates that where they were. You know, even the stock market, for all its gyrations, you know, the major indices are right around where they were in the fall, yet two-fifths of the people in our survey say they feel stuck in their financial situation. More than two-thirds say they are either not financially secure or only somewhat financially secure. More than 60% say they're feeling anxiety some of the time. There's been a great unmooring that we've seen in the American economy.
But let's dig a little deeper. I know we asked people how well they can withstand the slings and arrows of sudden financial changes. What did we find there?
This was one of the interesting things that we dug into. So the question we asked was, how difficult would it be to pay an unexpected expense of $1,000? You could imagine this being a medical bill. Maybe you're in a fender bender. Any of those things that come up in life. The results, I mean, they were really something. A quarter of the people we surveyed say it would be very difficult. More than a third said it would be somewhat difficult. That's more than half of the people in the survey are saying if they had an unexpected expense of $1,000, it would cause a problem. And more than half of those people who said that they would have some trouble with it, they don't have a place to turn. They don't have a friend or a family member who has $1,000 that they could spare. And so you begin to get a sense of why there's so much anxiety among Americans when it comes to their finances.
Fascinating. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We'll have more of the Marketplace Edison Research Poll's findings throughout the week. Plus, there's a quick quiz you can take to gauge your level of anxiety versus the rest of the population. It's at marketplace.org. Let's do the market numbers. London's FT100 is up 0.6%. The key stock index in Hong Kong rose 1.2%. Stock index futures here are down slightly. The guardians of U.S. interest rates meet tomorrow. The Federal Reserve last raised rates 3 months ago, and most of the big money is betting rates will not go up again this week. But it's hard to overemphasize how much this is defining the market psychology now. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York.
When global markets literally hang on the Fed's every word, it is a tough gig for Fed Chair Janet Yellen and company.
You know, it's very easy to criticize it. It's very easy to comment on it. But when you're sitting there, you're really dealing with a lot of shadows.
Steve Blitz is chief economist at ITG.
The employment numbers that you see today are based on decisions that were made a few months ago. Inflation is a notoriously late indicator.
The challenge for the Fed is to figure out just the right time to raise rates, not too soon so as to hurt the recovery, but soon enough to keep things stable. Bernie Baumol of the Economic Outlook Group is watching paychecks.
If we finally begin to see wage growth accelerate further, then I think the Fed is going to be ready to finally pull the trigger on the next rate increase.
And even though it doesn't look like that'll happen this week, the Fed keeps telling us there's more to come this year. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
The U.S. Senate is expected to vote today on the president's pick to lead the Department of Education. John King took over from Arne Duncan at the beginning of the year. King is the former education commissioner for New York State and is expected to win permanent confirmation easily, a rare thing in divided Washington. But in this case, permanent means less than a year. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
One big item on John King's agenda, implementing the new Every Student Succeeds Act. Michigan State Professor Sarah Reckow says the law gives states a lot more leeway in how they hold schools accountable for student achievement.
But the Department of Education will have to create the regulations that guide the creation of those plans.
On the higher education side, today King launches a national tour to promote campus safety, diversity, and President Obama's free community college plan. Matthew Chingos with the Urban Institute says with less than a year to go, significant reforms are unlikely.
But I think you can also play a longer game, and that's trying to build support for ideas that you think are important. I mean, free college wasn't really on the table until President Obama proposed it a couple of years ago.
Now both Democratic presidential candidates have debt-free college plans. And it's possible King could end up working for one of them after his current boss leaves office. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And it's also Pi Day with today's date, 31416, if you round Pi to four decimal places. Some online retailers have Pi Day sales, 31.1416% off. As the old-timer said to his grandkid just back from college, "What do you mean Pi R squared?" Everyone knows pies are round. I know you don't think that's funny, but I submit the young one in your backseat thinks that's funny. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.